It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three. Good!
You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is.
You play to win the game.
Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. We made it to a Friday. How about that? I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. Thank goodness. A little chippy out there today. Like usual, a jam-packed show on the way. However you are here, whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thank you so very much. Hope your day is treating you well. Hope you have an outstanding weekend. And we got an hour's worth of fun ahead of us. Very much looking forward to it. More details here in just a bit. First things first, though, follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Like the Facebook page. Type in 1650TheFan. And make sure that you bookmark the website, not only for the stream. You get all sorts of local and statewide sports content there. All of our programming information, Waterloo Blackhawks minutes on demand, and that's just a small sample of what you can find. 1650thefan.com, bookmark it, make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Dial me up today if you want to add to the show with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show, email address Cole at 1650thefan.com. Questions, comments, send them along. Or maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. By all means, fire away. Just know, might read it on the show. Try to keep your profanities to a minimum. All right? Good luck with that. Area sports news and scores. We'll lead it off here in just a few short moments. Plenty to get to in the stack, including a full slate, as you heard me tell you right before the top of the hour, if you were here, a full slate of Metro Prep Hoops. Obviously, the girls state wrestling tournament is going on right now at Extreme Arena in Coralville. We had our last update earlier this afternoon. I'll play that update again for you in case you missed it during our first commercial break here, and we will have a final update later tonight after the Waterloo Blackhawks game. The Hawks playing host to Fargo tonight. Pre-game of that one, of course, 6:45 like usual on a Friday. And then after that, we will get our final on-air update of what's taking place. It'll be a wrap on the first ever sanctioned girls high school state wrestling tournament. And going into today, Decorah had the lead, Waverly Shell Rock in second place, but a number of Cedar Falls Tigers we're in the mix to get on the medal stand. So we will get you all those details, as I mentioned, later tonight after Waterloo Blackhawks hockey. All right, what else do we got going on today? After the first break, we'll get you a CBS Sports Flash during that first timeout. We'll get you a VSiN Action Update, like always, from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. Looks like a heat wave is on its way, so very much looking forward to that. Heat wave right now constitutes about 38 degrees as a high, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Beggars can't be choosers. We'll come back from that first time out, and Rob Gray, our friend from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, colleague of mine, does great work covering Iowa State. We get Rob in to do an audit of this Iowa State men's basketball team that's lost three of its last four games. Where are we at on the panic meter? 1 to 10, Cyclone fans, where are we? We dig in on that with Rob in the next segment. And we'll also talk a little bit of Iowa State football offseason, National Signing Day, of course, 2 days ago on the first of the month. And there's been a lot of changes on Matt Campbell's staff. So if you think about it, you know, what's more impactful right away? Would it be the 2023 Iowa State recruiting class, or will this the mix-up of coaches on Coach Campbell's staff, will that leave a bigger imprint on the 2023 Iowa State football team? We'll ask Rob that as well when he joins us. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get you Radio Iowa Sports during that break. We'll come back on the other side, and like usual on a Friday, Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join. We'll begin to preview the Super Bowl, kind of talk about some storylines that are out there right now. Not necessarily dig in too much on the game itself just yet. We'll do that next Friday. But we'll talk about some of the other NFL storylines. Tom Brady hanging it up. What does Logan think about that? All the musical chairs that's set to go on with different quarterbacks in the league. And not only just quarterbacks themselves, but teams that need quarterbacks. And then the coaching carousel going on right now continues to go on. So plenty to talk about when Logan joins us coming up in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, as well as Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up the show for the week. Okay, a couple things real quick first, getting ahead of myself here. CBS, apparently, Andrew Marchand, I want to say, is who had this report. I didn't read it. I heard about it watching a clip from the Pat McAfee show. I subscribe to their YouTube page. Don't have, obviously, the time to listen to their show every day. They broadcast on YouTube, but they put little clips on their YouTube page. I like to check those out. I think Pat McAfee's awesome, does a great job. And apparently, by this report from Andrew Marchand, and part of the reason I bring this up is I've given my opinion a couple times recently on Tony Romo in the booth on CBS with Jim Nantz, and that it seems like he's just kind of winging it anymore, and that he's not really offering a whole lot to the broadcast. And by nature of that, his little theatrics and the way he goes about, you know, just doing his thing, I guess you would say, it's, to me, it's become annoying. And I'm not the only one. I am far from the only one to have these thoughts. And CBS apparently has had these thoughts of some sort because it was leaked in this report by Andrew Marchand. I think it was a day ago that CBS had a, quote, what they called an intervention with Romo this past offseason, because apparently after he got his big fat $180 million contract, I think that was maybe over 9 years, 9 or 10 years, that let's just say Tony's work ethic may have suffered a little bit. And Tony likes to play golf. He's really good at golf. So you can't blame him. But I don't know, it kind of makes me think of that Kyler Murray contract where they had the homework clause in there because he plays Call of Duty all the time, I guess. I mean, what do you do if you're CBS other than send your big execs down there and ask for more? You know, more preparation, things of that nature. Because, and I've said this for years, and I'm here to take a victory lap on it. I've enjoyed Kevin Burkhardt on Fox doing both football and Major League Baseball for a number of years. And after Joe Buck and Troy Aikman left for ESPN and Monday Night Football, I was so excited that Fox was going to make Burkhardt the number one play-by-play guy. And I thought Greg Olson, who had a really good first year, I was like, I don't know if he's quite cut out for it, but he's done a good job, and he's been really good too. And I think, to me, if I had to pick right now between Joe and Troy on ESPN, Jim and Tony on CBS, and then, of course, Burkhardt and Olson on Fox, it's not a question. I'm not pausing at all. And with respect to Joe and Troy, I'm taking Burkhardt and Greg Olson. And I just thought this was really interesting that it got leaked here. At the end of the season, obviously, no more broadcasts for CBS. Fox has the Super Bowl. That there was a, quote, intervention with Tony Romo critiquing his commentary after the end of last season. And I would say that that intervention has not necessarily worked. One other thing I want to get to, but we're running a little short on time. I want to make sure we got enough time for Rob Gray. So it's baseball related. Going back to the 2017 World Series that the Astros stole. Yeah, that. So I'll try to get to that at the end of the show today. I wanted to make sure to bring that up as well. Another interesting tidbit came out there in relation to that, I think yesterday or today. So we'll put a bookmark on that. But in the meantime, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Friday. Tonight in Metro basketball, in girl-boy doubleheaders, Waterloo East is at Ames, and Waterloo Columbus plays host to Union. In a girls' game, a 5A top 10 matchup, number 8 Cedar Falls plays at number 3 Waterloo West. And on the boys' side, 7th-ranked Waterloo West visits Cedar Falls. You can listen to that game on our companion station tonight, Cruising KCFI. Pre-game coverage with Dave Finnegan begins around 7:15. The pairings have been released for the state dual team wrestling tournament. Action gets underway tomorrow morning at Extreme Arena in Coralville. In quarterfinal matches involving area schools in 3A at 11 tomorrow morning, 3-seed Waverly Shellrock takes on 6-seed Ankeny Centennial. In 1A tomorrow morning at 9, top seed Don Bosco faces 8-seed Hinton. And a pair of area schools square off as 4-seed Nashua Plainfield goes against 5-seed Wapsie Valley. The postseason begins in boys swimming tomorrow. District meets taking place across the state. Cedar Falls and the Waterloo swim teams will both be among others at a district meet in Dubuque. The fastest 32 swimmers and 24 relay teams from districts qualify for state. State meet is scheduled for February 10th and 11th at the University of Iowa's Recreation and Wellness Center in Iowa City. Caitlin Clark was incredible again. Go figure. Scored 42 points. Monica Sinano added 28. 6th-ranked Iowa women's basketball defeated number 8 Maryland 96-82 last night. Clark was 13 of 19 from the field, including 6 of 11 on three-pointers, added 7 rebounds and 8 assists. Hawkeyes have now won 7 straight. They're a half game behind number 4 Indiana for the lead in the Big Ten. Iowa had a 18-point lead at halftime in that game. Tonight in college wrestling, UNI plays host to Cal Baptist at McLeod Center. This evening's duel will be the first meeting between the Lancers and the Panthers. Cal Baptist is the newest affiliate member of the Big 12. Action begins at 7. Also in college wrestling tonight, number 3 Iowa State is at West Virginia. Number 2 Iowa travels to Minnesota. And Division 3 top-ranked Wartburg is at Coe. The UNI men's basketball team will look to snap a 2-game losing streak when it hosts Bradley tomorrow evening at McLeod Center. Panthers are coming off a heartbreaking double overtime loss at Drake Wednesday night. And the Panthers are a part of this logjam in the Missouri Valley Conference standings. 4 teams tied for first at 9-4, 4 other schools at 8-5. Bradley and UNI among those that are 8-5. Tip off at McLeod Center tomorrow is at 5. And you'll hear it right here on The Fan tomorrow morning. Get your coffee to go with your Cyclones. The 13th-ranked Iowa State men's basketball team hosts number 8 Kansas at Hilton Coliseum. Cyclones trying to move on after their painful OT loss at Texas Tech on Monday when they blew a 23-point lead with 12.5 minutes left in that game. Kansas got the best of Iowa State by just 2 points in Lawrence back on January 14th. Pre-game coverage begins at 10 here on The Fan tomorrow. Tip-off at 11. The Waterloo Blackhawks continued their hot play, winning 7-3 at Dubuque last night. You heard it here on The Fan. The Blackhawks have won 10 of their last 11, and they're back on the ice this evening hosting Fargo. The two teams meet tonight and tomorrow, and it's a matchup of the top 2 teams in the USHL's Western Conference. You can hear all the coverage right here on The Fan. Tonight's game, pregame, 6:45, opening faceoff at 7:05. And finally, did you see this? The Arena Football League is relaunching next summer and is in search of new teams, which could include 2 Eastern Iowa cities. Which ones, you ask? Dubuque and Waterloo, among 10 cities that fans can vote on to get a team in the league. The Arena League will be made up of 16 teams playing 10 games. 15 players on each team play both ways, offense and defense. Games will be played on 50-yard fields. You can vote for one city one time on the league's website, thearenaleague.football/vote. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast all coming your way. We'll also get you the latest update from the girls state wrestling tournament in Coralville. And then we'll come back and talk Iowa State men's basketball, a little football too, with Rob Gray of the Gazette. That's all next right here on this Friday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
CBS. Sports Flash.
Now, Kyrie Irving had previously stated a desire to stay in Brooklyn long term, but apparently has had a change of heart, asking to be traded before Thursday's trade deadline, according to several reports. Irving has been terrific all season, averaging 27 points a game, and recently has carried the Nets with Kevin Durant injured. In other news regarding the Nets, an MRI on Ben Simmons' knee came back clean, but he's likely to miss a fourth straight game tomorrow night. The Sixers continue their chase of the East-leading Celtics. They're three games back and are in San Antonio. Philly has won 8 of 9, while the Spurs are going in the other direction with losses in 15 of 17, and after tonight, they'll embark on their annual 9-game rodeo road trip. The Celtics are home to host the Suns, while the Wizards go for their 7th straight tonight against the Blazers. Tommy Rees is leaving Notre Dame, reportedly joining Nick Saban's staff as the new offensive coordinator at Alabama. He had served in the same role for the Fighting Irish for the last 3 years, but at 30 years of age and with his experience, he is a rising star in the coaching circles. The 49ers are looking for a new defensive coordinator and will reportedly meet with former Cardinals coach and Panthers interim Steve Wilks. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Coming up later on the Zach Gelb Show, it's a Football Friday. Well, without the football, because no one cares about the Pro Bowl. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
CBS Sports Radio. Listen to Waterloo Blackhawks hockey tonight on The Fan. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first month free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, unlimited washes, skip the line, free mat washes, and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online on Facebook or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo.
With the wrap-up of the semifinal round for 1650 The Fan, I'm Carl Woldridge. Here's the place winners here for the Cedar Valley. Cedar Falls with two place winners. At 105 pounds, Lauren Witt will be going for fifth place tonight against McKenna Rogers of Solon. And at 235, Briar Ludeman finished seventh by pinning Haley Armstrong of SWAT in 36 seconds. For Waverly Shell Rock, they have three wrestlers into the finals. At 140 pounds, Kiara Jumessi will wrestle against Mari Manns of Lewis Central of Council Bluffs. At 145, Hayden Snyder will wrestle in the finals against Emma Peach of Iowa Valley. And at 235, Madison Heinrichs will wrestle in the finals against Olivia Huckfeldt of Spencer. Other wrestlers in action, both finished seventh. Eva Heisey at 125 was a winner by fall over Autumn Stonecipher of West Fork in 429 to finish seventh. And at 130 pounds, Lily Stowe finished off a seventh place finish by beating City High's Claire Brown 6-3. For Union at 105 pounds, Jillian Worthen is into the finals. She'll be taking on Layla Phillips of Mason City. And two wrestlers for Independence going for medals tonight as well. At 135 pounds, Dakota Whitman will be going for fifth place against Adriana Russell of Centerville. And at 190, Rachel Eddy will be going for third against Brianna Peach of Iowa Valley. Team scores through this round. Waverly Shell Rock out to a big lead with 117 points. Decorah sitting in second place with 102. Lewis Central has jumped into third with 98. East Buchanan fourth with 97. Fifth place is Osage with 73. Cedar Falls is in 10th place. They have 62 team points. Reporting from the Girls State Wrestling Tournament for 1650 The Fan, I'm Carl Woldridge.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
It's the unofficial start of the NASCAR season with Sunday night's Busch Light Clash at the Coliseum as they are at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. Chase Elliott and Joey Logano are atop the odds. They each pay out at plus 750 to be victorious on Sunday night, while Kyle Larson pays out at plus 850 and Christopher Bell at plus 900. We're not that far out from the Daytona 500 on February 16th. Right now, Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson are the favorites to win that race, each paying out at plus 1,200.
For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your action update on 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. 2 above tonight under mainly clear skies, southeasterly winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 35. Lows dip down to about 23. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Highs level off around 34 Sunday under mainly cloudy skies. 41 Monday, chance for scattered showers. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 3 above.
You're listening to Cole and Company on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. And there is a big, big Iowa State men's basketball game tomorrow. Of course, you'll hear it right here on The Fan, your official station for Cyclone Nation. You've got the 13th-ranked Cyclones hosting 8th-ranked Kansas tomorrow. It's a top 15 Big 12 showdown at Hilton Coliseum, and the Cyclones need this game. I guess maybe big picture, perhaps they don't, if you want to go all the way down that wormhole. But, I mean, just given the recent play of the Cyclones, having lost 3 of their last 4, as far as that is concerned, they need a win right now, and they've got a formidable opponent, saying the least, tomorrow. So we bring in our friend Rob Gray, colleague of mine at the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Follow him on Twitter, at Rob W. Gray. Rob, thanks so much for being here. How are you on this Friday?
Oh, I'm doing great, Cole. Great to join you. I guess at least the sun is now shining when it's 8 or 9 degrees outside. So doing pretty good.
You know, I always catch a little bit of momentum when I start the show at 5 o'clock this time of the year, and I notice that it's actually not dark outside anymore. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're on the... We're on the trend toward warm again.
Exactly. I'm very much looking forward to it, and I think a lot of Cyclone fans are looking forward to seeing this team bounce back, given, like I mentioned, they've lost 3 of their last 4 games. And I see a lot of people, Rob, pointing toward the start that T.J. Otzelberger's team had in Big 12 play last season and going, hey, you know, we didn't panic then, and it paid off not to panic because – they made the NCAA tournament. They made the Sweet 16 after getting there. I think it may still be the right thing not to panic, but I feel like the circumstances are a lot different with this team. Would you agree with that, that that's not a straight line in terms of justifying panic right now as the Cyclones have lost 3 of their last 4?
Yeah, I think I guess I'm in the camp that it's never good to panic, although I know what you mean. It's not literal panic, but, you know, make some big changes maybe. They're kind of, what's similar to last year is it's a bit surprising as to how successful they've been. Now, last year was a huge surprise, one of the biggest turnarounds in NCAA history, obviously from 2-22 to the undefeated non-conference slate, and then the struggles in the Big 12 until they needed 4 wins in a row and they got them. In more or less pick'em games. That's a kind of a similarity. You know, picked down at the bottom of the Big 12, not the dead last like Kansas State, who, of course, has done some pretty remarkable things despite their recent loss at Kansas. But I feel like what's got them here is what they need to cling to, like last season. You know, the defense. You know, Coach Otzelberger talks about habits all the time, the way that they practice, the way that they play, the way that they move the basketball on offense. I just think that the loss of Texas Tech is a perfect storm of bad. I think Tainan Lipsey, for once, was exposed as a true freshman that maybe the moment got to him. Uncharacteristic turnovers. The Red Raiders sagged off him, daring him to shoot it because he's so good at driving and finishing, and he didn't do that. And then once the snowball starts rolling the other way, I've likened it to, sorry for a little aside, but the Big 12 is so good this season in as much as there are no bad teams, that it's like the NBA. And you can have 20-plus point fourth quarter leads or second half leads in the case of college basketball still, unfortunately, and they go away fast. And that's what happened against the Red Raiders team that, remember, they were favored in that game.
Yeah,
Texas Tech at 0-8 in the league was favored to win the game by 2.5, and what did they do? They win it by 3 in overtime. Vegas knows, as we say, but definitely no reason to panic, but definitely some things they've got to learn to deal with, because full court pressure is something that has caused the Cyclones problems in these games, and you know, as Coach Hotzenberger said, hasn't bothered them so much at home. They've responded, which, you know, they certainly hope that trend can continue against the Jayhawks. But as he also said, if you would have told them before the season, you're 6-3 through the first half of the Big 12,
yeah,
given the way the schedule shakes out, they would have definitely signed up for that. So that's kind of where we're at. I think they're treating it as one game, which is what it is, and they feel like they've still got a high ceiling as they go down the second half of the Big 12 and look toward the postseason.
I've been saying on the show, Rob, for I think 2 months now, that the Big 12 is clearly the best conference in college men's basketball this season, and a great point to drive that home with the spread on that Texas Tech game where they were favored at 0-8 in Lubbock against Iowa State. I suppose maybe just to kind of put a bow on this part of the conversation about the struggles, about people's level of concern is, I think of the word vulnerability. And when you look at last year's team, albeit, you know, that was for the first year of T.J. Otzelberger. I think when you do an audit of this team and you do an audit of last year's team, there's really something to be said for which team might be more vulnerable on any given night against any given opponent. Do you kind of see what I'm getting at here? And I haven't necessarily said it, but do you think that perhaps, I'll say it, this team is more vulnerable than last year's team?
I think it can be because they don't have that, you know, front line, you know, big time number one scorer, mm-hmm, and frankly rebounder that Isaiah Brockington was. But that's also one of the reasons they've had more or less sustained success despite losing three of the last four here against good teams, admittedly, mostly good teams. The fact that Jaron Holmes leads the team with 13.5 points a game. Gabe Kalsis are 13.4. A bunch of guys in that mix of 8.5 to 9 points a game to, you know, 13.5. And then you potentially get a Jazz Kuntz back, which I think would be huge for them. His 5.9 rebounds a game, one of their better 3-point shooters, and just a big facilitator of their offense. That, you know, no offense to the big Rob Energy, Rob Jones, but it's not the same because he's not a threat when he's handling it in the high post and moving the basketball like they do, weaving it up there sometimes. So don't know if he'll be back, but he'll certainly be back soon, and that, I think, bodes very well for Iowa State. But in terms of vulnerable, I think they're vulnerable in very much the same way in the fact that their margin of error is so small.
Yeah.
They're getting everything they can from all these guys, and the parts are fitting together. But one gets a little askew or you get a little bit loose on another spot, and you see what can happen. And it'll be interesting because teams are going to attack them with pressure and see if they can hold up to it. But track record so far this season says they can, at least at home.
It's going to be interesting to see just how much they're attacked by pressure, like you mentioned, Rob, going forward, especially coming out of that loss at Texas Tech. But you mentioned Jazz Kuntz, and the timeline originally – when it was announced that he had his injury, would put it right around right now for him to return. Is it fair to say that Coach Otzelberger is every bit as vague with injury as Coach Matt Campbell is?
I don't know if every bit. I mean, I got to give Coach Campbell a lot of. I guess I'd call it credit there. He's elite in that category. but he did say that he was cleared to come back and practice in non-contact situations, which he did, I believe it was on Thursday. But he also said that he could get cleared to play within that small time frame, of course, because they have, you know, on staff medical professionals. So he didn't say. I think it's questionable in all caps would be the way to put it. You don't know, but I mean, you couple that with Caleb Brill obviously feeling better, hitting a career-high 8 threes in that Texas Tech loss, and Otzelberger saying he feels even better now. A lot of positive news on the injury front from Iowa State. A lot of people might forget how valuable Jazz Kuntz was to this team,
right?
And yet they still go 6-3 to start Big 12 play.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's one of those things where the team has played so well, with all due respect to Jazz, that it makes you wonder if people just kind of forget a little bit about just how much of a factor that he is. Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on a Friday edition of Cole & Company. Iowa State hosting Kansas tomorrow right here on the Fan. Pregame coverage begins at 10 and tip off of that one at 11 a.m. Rob, it sure, I mean, I think it goes without saying that playing Kansas somewhere outside of Lawrence, is outside of Fog Allen Fieldhouse, is a lot different than it is when you are inside their venue. That being said, what do you see as the keys for Iowa State? Because they gave them one hell of a game down there in Lawrence when they faced off earlier this season. What's going to be key inside Hilton Coliseum where you can look up in the second half and go, Iowa State is in this game and they've got a chance to win it?
Well, they've got to not only control the pace, which they did in that game at Allen Fieldhouse, losing 62-60 on a last-second shot, and I think Grill had a chance to respond. It wasn't a great look and couldn't hit. So they dictated pace of play. They got to do that again. They've also got to force a lot of live ball turnovers, which they did, and they've got to cut back. I mean, just an unbelievable amount, 13 in the second half, I believe, against the Red Raiders, which was just, they were throwing the ball all over the place. And you got to, don't discount the fact that they played Saturday in Columbia, too, and they turn around and play Monday. That's a tough deal for a team that practices as hard as they do, plays as hard as they do. So I think they got tired as well.
Yeah.
You know, if you can control that, which Iowa State has been all year, I mean, one of the best, if not the best team at turning opponents over, and generally reasonably good at taking care of the basketball as well. I think another key is Kansas can't get to the foul line all the time like Texas Tech did. I think Tech got to the foul line, 37 times, something like that. And Iowa State is one of the worst teams in the country in terms of free throw differential, getting to the line and opponents getting in the line. If that can be somewhat even, I think Iowa State's got a great chance to get right back on track. Kansas went through a stretch, lost three games in a row. Everyone's like, what's the matter with Kansas, including the 23-point, you know, start-to-finish beatdown that they had at Allen Fieldhouse from TCU, and now they're riding high, and all of a sudden, Kansas is right again. Iowa State has a chance to get right against a team on a roll, and I think it's going to be one of those games where, you know, unless it unravels for them, they're going to be right there in a position to get back on track, get to 7-3 in the league, and be part of that, or remain part of, or separate itself from that four-team logjam in second place at this point in the Big 12.
Should be another epic Big 12 battle in what's just been one heck of a conference season so far. Final thought on Iowa State men's basketball, Rob, and I think you may have alluded to this earlier, but if there was one thing that you would point fans toward when it's, hey, February, then it's March, you want to be playing your best basketball, one thing in particular for fans to watch closely that will relate or correlate most to success for this team down the stretch?
Well, I think it relates to what I was talking about before. We know what they want to do. They want to limit possessions. They've done a good job of that most of the season, even in some losses like Kansas. They want to turn the opposition over. They've done a good job on balance all season doing that. And they want to continue to run offense through a lot of different guys. I think one of the keys was that a one-off deer in the headlights type performance for Taman Lipsey, who has far exceeded my expectations, and I would imagine almost everyone's expectations as a freshman in a very experienced Big 12 league. If that is more or less like a one-off, I think Iowa State can go a long way again. I mean, they proved last season that they can start strong, they can face adversity, weather it in just the right way, barely get into the tournament, 11 seed, post two upsets, and then, holy cow, first Sweet 16 in whatever it was, 6-7 years. So I think it all comes down to playing the way they want to play, which they've established, and Taman Lipsey reverting back to that efficient and great offense and very good defense in terms of steals and just on-ball defense that he's shown in the past.
Just a little bit of time left here with Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Rob, I want to quickly shift gears, and before I let you go, ask you, all right, National Signing Day 2 days ago, everybody's happy about the class that they bring in, including Iowa State with Coach Matt Campbell, who we referenced earlier. Do you think that this 2023 recruiting class, or perhaps all the changes on the coaching staff, are going to be the thing. I mean, just what do you think is the bigger off-season storyline here? Because it takes a little while typically for a recruiting class to make an impact, but albeit I'm not sure how many, you know, promising 3, 4, maybe 5-star recruits they have, maybe D1 transfers that'll contribute right away like a Colby Reader did this past season. That's a big deal. It proved to be that this past season. But how would you relate that in terms of how it can impact this next year's team versus everything we've seen in terms of coaching staff changes that included a UNI Panther coach in Ryan Clanton going over to Ames?
Yeah, I think on balance, the recruiting class is more important, obviously, just because I don't think philosophically Iowa State's approach on offense is going to change much. In fact, Coach Campbell more or less said that. And I don't want this to sound like an Iowa situation, because what I'm saying is Iowa State ran successful offense, except in terms of scoring.
Yeah.
They kept the opposing defenses on the field. Were they as successful as they've been in recent years? No, but they were successful enough that they should have been able to win 8-9 games, except that they were embarrassingly bad at finishing drives with points. And, I think it was kind of a – feels like kind of a mutual thing. Tom Manning had been there a long time, presided over some of the best offenses in Iowa State history. How well-regarded is he? Well, now he's going to be facing the Cyclones as Cincinnati's OC. And then elevating Nate Shielhouse was –
Could you say that again?
My watch acting on it. But, you know, so – and Clanton's a huge addition. I think that one area where they have not progressed as much as they need to is offensive line. And so that's big. But when you get a quarterback caliber with J.J. Cole coming in, Hunter Deckers did a lot of good things last year, but the turnovers were big. You know, sometimes the situation got to him. Well, there's going to be – Deckers is the clear number one because of experience. There's going to be a lot of talent in that quarterback room. And if Cole is as good as advertised, he's going to push Deckers hard. And we're seeing that across a bunch of areas. And Campbell said the offensive line room has some elite talent in it. They just haven't gotten it out. So I think adding to that, and again, their best recruiting class, even though they only signed one guy on what used to be the big day, but the best recruiting class they've had, a lot of good skill position guys, a lot of good defensive guys. I think this class is going to determine whether Iowa State gets right back on its usual trajectory of getting to bowl games and at least contending for, the high finish in the Big 12.
I think there's a lot of very interesting storylines to watch when spring practices begin a little over a month from now, and I can't wait to see what Ryan Clanton does over there. Rob, great stuff as always. It's great to catch up, and we'll be sure to get you back on here again soon. Thanks.
Sounds awesome. Great to talk to you, Cole.
Radio Iowa Sports, good afternoon. I'm Tim Fisher, getting set for a busy men's college basketball schedule tomorrow at Hilton Coliseum. A battle of ranked teams as 13th-ranked Iowa State plays host to 8th-ranked Kansas. The two teams are locked in a 4-way tie for second place in the Big 12, sitting at 6-3 in the conference, just a game back of Texas, who leads the league at 7-2. Tip-off tomorrow for Iowa State and Kansas set for 11 a.m. The Big Ten Conference, Iowa looks to extend a 2-game winning streak tomorrow as they play host to Illinois, 1:30 the tip-off from Carver-Hawkeye Arena. The Missouri Valley Conference, the Drake Bulldogs in a 4-way tie atop the league go on the road to Valparaiso, while the UNI Panthers will look to snap a quick 2-game losing skid as they play host to Bradley. I'm Tim Fisher, Radio Iowa Sports.
How do you play Powerball?
I like to be the first person in line when the convenience store opens, which is hard to do if they're open 24/7, but I enter the store on my right foot, take exactly 7 steps to the counter, always 7, and take the ticket with my left hand. Then I high-five the cashier. Sometimes they leave me hanging.
However you play, play now.
This Saturday's estimated Powerball jackpot is $700 million.
Woohoo!
We all make choices about alcohol. Kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad. Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations, and they want honest answers in everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Coach Ben Jacobson and the UNI basketball team are back at the McLeod Center. Be a part of the action as the Panthers host Bradley Saturday at 5. Panther basketball is affordable, family fun, with tickets starting at $10. Catch the excitement of live Panther basketball and show your roar Saturday at 5. Get your tickets today at unipanthers.com/promo or call 273-4849. That's 273-4849.
Hi, this is Andrew Kaler from Denver Insurance. You can trust us and Grinnell Mutual to take care of you today and tomorrow. Serving you is our specialty because we make your needs our priority. Get coverage from the people you know will be there when you need them most. With Grinnell Mutual, you can trust in tomorrow. Contact me, Andrew Kaler, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at Denver Insurance today.
Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
Working from home or back in the office, don't miss a minute of Cole & Company. Just ask your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. A Friday edition of Cole & Company continues. We welcome in Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast now. I see there's a new podcast out. Where can people find it? What are you talking about, Logan?
So you can find it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I say this a lot, usually joking around, but I actually like this one more than I usually do. And touched on Tom Brady retiring for the second time. We go over the what it means for the quarterback offseason market this offseason, what teams are going to be looking for quarterbacks, which ones aren't because of Brady retiring. For, as we think, at least right now, the most desirable teams to go to. We talk about your Chicago Bears and the report they are trading down or they're looking to trade down. And then talk about screwing over some of your rivals, whether it be the Colts jumping the Texans trading up to one, or the Panthers jumping the Colts because the Frank Reich thing. And then I do a 2022 NFL draft quiz where I try to name every single player in the 2020. That was drafted in the 2022 draft. So 262 players. Did my best to try and name them. What do you think I got if
okay, 262 players. I'm going to say you got 192.
Oh, man. Well, that doesn't make me feel great. I was hoping you were going to go a little bit lower. I got 158.
I don't know. That's such a random thing to guess. My goodness. What a practice to put yourself through. You know what? You're sick. You know that? You're kind of sick.
I enjoy it, though. The sad thing is I probably should have gotten more. There were some I was actually mad at myself about at the end of it. But, you know, I'll take – I was at like – I think it was 58% correct. So I'll take it. I'll take it.
Man, your addictive habits, it's a good thing that it's landed on being an NFL draft guy because, man, if you got into any of the bad stuff, you'd be in a world of hurt.
It'd be bad. It'd be really bad.
It would be really bad. It'd be all the way bad. Let's talk a little bit about what Tom Brady's retirement means for that quarterback carousel. Aaron Rodgers is out there. Devontae Adams tweeting about him coming to Vegas. Derek Carr maybe he ends up in New Orleans with the Jets. Who knows where Jimmy G ends up? It won't be in San Francisco. Does maybe Zach Wilson move? I mean, Tampa's looking for a quarterback. You got Baker Mayfield, Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts here, Logan. What's maybe like the two... I mean, outside of Aaron Rodgers, is there anything that's going to be that fascinating to watch unfold?
I think including Rodgers, I think what the Jets decide to do will be interesting because I think their top two guys, at least from like early on in the season when the Niners restructured Jimmy G's contract to try and get him out this offseason, I was like, oh, the Jets make the most sense for Garoppolo given all the connections with the 49ers staff that's there right now. I mean, LaFleur's not there anymore, but Saleh's still there. But, I think watching where Garoppolo goes, that could kind of loosely affect where Rodgers goes. I mean, they brought in Hackett. They're doing the Broncos method of we're going to bring Hackett in and try to get Rodgers and ultimately not get Aaron Rodgers. So I think where he goes will be interesting. And this, I saw the Saints thing with Carr earlier today. I don't know where the Saints – like, I feel like they've been negative cap for the last, like, 30 years. I don't think they've ever had a positive cap number. So I don't know how they're able to sign all these different quarterbacks, but – Derek Carr will be very interesting because there's not like Garoppolo and Rodgers, there's connection. But you got Hackett in the Jets. You've got Devontae in the Raiders. You've got Garoppolo. You've got Josh McDaniels in the Raiders. You've got the 49ers staff with the Jets. But with Carr, there's no real connections anywhere because he's only been the Raiders apart from, like Washington because Jack Del Rio is their defensive coordinator. So my big thing with Carr is, like, Washington could be one of those, like, mystery teams in there. But, yeah, like you said, the Bucs are going to need a quarterback, the Saints. Then, like, all these different teams are needing quarterbacks, but it's going to be – and then, like, what happens with Lamar Jackson is going to be another whole kettle of fish. It's going to be a lot of moving parts this offseason.
For the sake of my Bears trading out a number one, doesn't it seem like that the Colts and Panthers are not going to allow themselves to go the veteran or, you know, young veteran route that they've gone? I mean, that's what all signs are pointing to, right? So my Bears should be in a really nice spot right now.
Yeah, the Bears are going to get a nice little haul, whether that's from the Colts or the Panthers or even the Texans if the Bears want to implement the strategy that so fatefully got them Mitch Trubisky back in 2017. They could try to implement that strategy again. But yeah, the Colts, they possibly jump in the Texans could be really interesting to see. And the thing is, I find really interesting, I think they're all targeting different people, at least from different sources I've seen on, like, Twitter and different websites and stuff like that. It seems like they're all looking at different quarterbacks. But the trades will be fast and furious, like the Panthers with Frank Reich. I'm sure he would love to jump the Indianapolis Colts. I'm sure he would love to have a little bit of a thing in there, especially if they hire Jeff Saturday as their head coach. So it'll be interesting, but the Bears could get a decent haul for whoever trades back, whether it's because if they trade back to two, well, let's say hypothetically they trade with the Texans, there is a real shot that they trade with the Colts again. So they could really get two picks in there because the Colts might be afraid that, like the Panthers or even like the Raiders could try and trade up in front of that number two pick or that number three pick with Arizona to try and jump the Colts. So that could even spring them to get number two. So the Bears could come away with two teams' draft picks within the first two picks of the draft. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out.
Man, I'm knocking on wood for that one. We need all the picks we can get. My goodness, the Bears were so bad this past season. You know, last time you were on, you mentioned how Jalen Carter from Georgia, Will Anderson from Alabama, outside of the quarterbacks, are the two names you're going to hear the most. And it made me think to ask you today, Logan, who is the best offensive player in this draft that's not a quarterback?
Best offensive player in this draft is not a quarterback. I got to get my list up real quick. Hold on. I would probably, you know what? It's weird because the outside of quarterback, there's not really a lot of skill position players that are going to be hyped up a lot like we've seen in the past. Like, I don't really think we're going to see any receivers go in the top 10. So, like, in the top 10, you're going to see probably quarterbacks and edge rushers. And then Jalen Carter will be in there, too. And there'll probably be a corner in there every one of those two spots. One of those spots in the top 10, like Detroit or Philly. But, like, the receivers are always interesting because with all these different 7-on-7 drills, they're always going to be something fun to watch. And I'm going to go a little bit rogue. I'm not going to sit here and say that he's the best receiver in this draft, but Zay Flowers from Boston College is ridiculous. Him and Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee. So Jalen Hyatt's a burner. That dude's, like, straight line speed, him and that Tennessee offense worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. Like, just go watch the game against Alabama where he had 5 touchdowns. Like, he's just an absolute freak show at wide receiver. But the problem is the scouts love to use this term. His quote-unquote route tree might not be fully developed yet, but the speed there alone is ridiculous. And Zay Flowers is not the biggest guy, but he forced, like, the third most missed tackles in college football this past season playing for Boston College. Like, this guy has 200 catches in his time at BC. He's 5'10", 170, 175 pounds, somewhere around there. He's not big, but his willingness to not go down is really, really impressive. You're then, like, you got, like, Bijan Robinson from Texas, which a lot of people around the state of Iowa are well aware of going to, like, cheering for Iowa State and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, like, the tackles are very good. Like, Broderick Jones from Georgia, he's not, like, your prototypical size. He's only about 6'4", but he's very physical. He's, like, the picture of a Georgia football player. Like, that's exactly what Broderick Jones is like. Paris Johnson Jr., Peter Skoronski. Then you got freaking DeJuan Jones from Ohio State. His wingspan's wider than Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, this guy's ridiculous at 6'8", 350 pounds at tackle. Jeez. There's some fun offensive players in this draft. There's not like a Jamar Chase in this draft or anything, but there's some really, really talented players that could go to the latter parts of the first round, and it could be interesting to see how high teams are willing, like the Patriots or Packers or something like that, they're in like the 15 range, that could take one of these skill position players and start the ball rolling on who drafts these guys early on.
All right, Logan, let me get you out of here with this one. As a young, intrepid media personality, if you had a credential to the Super Bowl and you got to go to the little press gathering that they have with the players up on those little mini stages next week, which player would you want to ask a question and what would you ask them?
I would like to ask, who would I want to ask? I'd ask Patrick Mahomes how it felt throwing an interception against the Bills in the last 13 with a drive that lasted 13 seconds this year. But they beat 0-1. You did beat the best team in the NFL.
You're never off. You're just always on with the damn Bills.
I'll go a different route. I'd like to talk on a personal level. I'd like to talk to Jalen Hurts, just all the different things that he's gone through in regards to, like, he came into Alabama. Not the starter. Blake Barnett stunk up the ship in that first game. I think they played USC in their first game. Didn't do anything in that game, and then he got benched. Jalen Hurts comes in, and Alabama just absolutely routes him. And he had those really long dreadlocks at the time as well, which is just weird to see him now versus what it was at Alabama. Then he goes on to Bama, loses the natty to Clemson. Loses to Deshaun Watson in Clemson as a freshman. Then loses the job his next year to Tua when he beats Georgia.
Yep.
And then Tua keeps the job, but Jalen is smart enough to go, the players that are the backups for Bama are better than most teams in college football, so I'll stay here. And came in and helped them win the SEC championship game, goes to Oklahoma, develops into a quarterback, like an actual quarterback. And now we're sitting here now with him in the Super Bowl. So I'd love to sit down and talk to him. I think that'd be a very interesting. And he was like a high school bodybuilder, too. So he's I would love to see what I would love to just sit down and talk to Jalen Hurts for a little bit. I think that'd be fun.
Great stuff, Logan. Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. You too.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid says wide receiver Mecole Hardman is unlikely to play in Super Bowl 57 because of a pelvis injury. Las Vegas quarterback Derek Carr will be appearing in his fourth Pro Bowl as a replacement for Cincinnati's Joe Burrow. Carr, who was benched for the final two games of the regular season, is unsure if Sunday will be his final time wearing Raiders gear. He told Cam Wolf of NFL Network, quote, "It comes a time when it's time to move on, and that's this time." Thursday, Houston held its introductory press conference for new head coach DeMeco Ryans. He's the Texans' third new head coaching hire in as many years. The West All-Stars defeated the East Stars 12-3 in the 2023 East-West Shrine Bowl. Michigan kicker Jake Moody was named offensive MVP. He went 4-for-4 on field goals, including two 51-yarders. Florida safety Trey Dean III was named defensive MVP. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
That time of the year, postseason high school sports are happening, and The Fan is your one-stop shop. On air at 1650 AM and 102.3 FM, online at 1650thefan.com, on Twitter at 1650KCNZ, and on our 1650 The Fan Facebook page for coverage of our metro and area prep. 1650 The Fan has been bringing you coverage of high school athletics for over 25 years. And we're proud to continue, thanks in part to these sponsors.
Waterloo Community Schools, unfolding futures one student at a time. Wishing the very best of luck to all area athletes from the Waterloo Community School District. Visit waterlooschools.org.
What's the next big thing in farming? For better yield potential, it's working with Channel Seedsmen. Your local seedsman is Prime Ag Services in Reedland. Or find one at channel.com.
Bill Caldwell Ford, your favorite place to buy a vehicle. Just 10 minutes from Waterloo and Cedar Falls in Hudson, Bill Caldwell Ford, clearly a better place.
From gooey grilled cheese sandwiches on Dakota-style 12-grain to peanut butter and jelly on Kids' Choice soft white bread, kids of all ages want simple, comforting food that remind them of mom's home cooking. Country Hearth was born from that nostalgia and commitment to simplicity. Baked locally using natural ingredients like whole grains and honey, our breads are delivered fresh daily to grocery stores throughout the Midwest. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
This is Above the Noise. Whenever we start to compare NFL legends, we take a lot into account. You got stats and impact on the game and Super Bowls and All-Pro selections, and then there's the Pro Bowl. But the Pro Bowl is starting to become irrelevant. Maybe it already is. Take Tyler Huntley as an example. The QB was named to the Pro Bowl as an alternate. Now, he's done a nice job in relief of Lamar Jackson, but a Pro Bowl selection is a stretch. Huntley threw two touchdown passes. He threw three interceptions this season. And when you start to look at the recent history of the Pro Bowl, it's
it's starting to become a theme. Mitchell Trubisky named to the Pro Bowl in 2018. Former Titans quarterback Vince Young made two Pro Bowls. The average NFL lifespan is about 3 years, so it's hard to criticize any player who has managed to remain relevant for an extended period of time. But when we start to compare players, the recent history of Pro Bowl nominations is evidence it's time to stop using those nominations as an indication of great success. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. This message is brought to you by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal information like your name and address from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more. Discover.com/online privacy protection. That's Discover.com/online privacy protection.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Cole and Company with Colbert.
I do.
On 1650 The Fan.
Now, you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
Welcome back for a final time on this Friday. Got to thank Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast for joining today's fun. We've got Waterloo Blackhawks hockey coming up at 6:45. The Hawks playing host to the Fargo Force. Keep your radio locked right here for that. Over on our companion station, Cruising KCFI, Cedar Falls boys basketball team playing host to 7th-ranked Waterloo West. Pre-game coverage with Dave Finnegan over there begins around 7:15. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll be back Monday at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.